RŠ intervju.
Lepo pozdravljeni v RŠ intervjuju. Poslušali bomo pogovor z Galom Golobom in njegovim triom, ki ga sestavljata še Efim Brajlovski in Steven Moser. Trio je v sklopu Jazz Inkubatorja nastopil na letošnji 29. ediciji festivala Jazz Cerkno, ki je med 16. in 18. majem potekal v Cerknem. Gal Golob trio ustvarja v Berlinu, tam njegovi člani tudi študirajo.
Cenjeno poslušalstvo, pozdravljeni. Poslušate RŠ intervju. Z nami so Gal Golob trio. Trenutno smo v Cerknem na festivalu Jazz Cerkno, tukaj smo v eni sobici na dveh kavčih, smo se malo maknili. Intervju pa bo potekel v angleščini, ker to je nekak internacionalni trio, baziran v Berlinu. And yeah, we're gonna continue in English from this point on. Z vami sem Jaša Potočnik, to je pa Gal Golob trio. Hi guys, how you doing?
Hey, I'm pretty good. My name is Gal. I'm a double bassist and I'm a cellist, and I live in Berlin. I'm studying at the Jazz Institute, as are my companions in the trio, Efim Brajlovski and Steven Moser. It's a nice university, I think. I mean, for the most part, I think we're excited to be in Berlin because it's a fun place to live. The music scene is nice, the jazz scene is nice. A lot of experimental music going on as well. So, you know, just a lot of interesting things happening there.
How long have you been in Berlin?
I think Efim has been the longest, right?
5 years.
5 years. I've been for 3.5, and Stevie is...
One and a half.
Nice. Okay. And how did you guys meet?
We just met at the school, I guess. I mean, actually, the first time I met Efim was in Slovenia. He was playing with Tobija Hudnik. And we met and we got along very well, and we played a gig, I think, the same week when we met. It was pretty fun. And Stevie, I met through Samo Hude, the pianist who was also at the school. We played some stuff together and we just got along very well. So it made sense too.
So the school is like giving you lots of opportunities.
It started to integrate itself in the last years, because now we have a few clubs collaborating with the school and you can get gigs with multiple bands per evening, playing in some of the best jazz clubs in Berlin. So it's partly integrated also because you have opportunity to play with your professors outside of school. And you get the name.
So what are some of the clubs you've played? The clubs, you said the biggest jazz clubs in Berlin. What do you mean biggest. By biggest? Like or
not biggest is perhaps or, just the ones that matter the most.
Yeah.
I would say. Now they introduce these Donau sessions, which I'm off the record not a fan of, but it still presents a good opportunity for students to perform in one of the better places in Berlin, Donau 115. Now also Holzmarkt Chess and Jazz series or Zigzag Jazz Club. Zigzag is like probably the biggest, not the biggest in size, but in its influence club in Berlin. Yeah.
Pull up to the scene like as an unknown artist or like a band from just from school, you know, you met in school and then you go to the scene. How does it feel?
It's all...
I mean, as a band, it's a little bit... I mean, the most jazz musicians are... It's a very...
very common thing, maybe?
No, but I'm trying to say that most people are, like, individual. It's a very individual thing, mm-hmm. kind of, in terms of the progression, career progression, or anything like that. Getting into the scene, I think Berlin is one of the places to you know, get into the scene in terms of meeting people, getting to play concerts and stuff. And it's just like any other place, it takes a while to, you know, meet enough people to go to enough concerts to get enough opportunities to play. And then the more you play, the more opportunities you get. And that's just how it is in every place. I think there are places that are more closed off, for sure. But of course, everywhere it can be a struggle to get started. It's always kind of tough, but you can for sure make it work. And
absolutely,
it's not impossible.
You mentioned the career. Do you view your playing as a career?
I guess so. I mean, it's.
And there is an old-fashioned way of looking at it when you just think, okay, there are two ways of making money. It's like playing and teaching. But I think nowadays it's a bit more. But there are multiple ways of making money, and also like that's how big names survive as well. It's like apart from just playing live shows and teaching, you can do multiple mini things, like writing a book and selling that, giving workshops, which is also teaching. But still, like, there are more ways which we slowly start to discover along the way. But playing would be great. I guess you guys agree that, like, for some part of the life, extensive playing, intense playing, and then shift into something else.
Yeah, I think for now we're all striving for a lot of freelancing, meaning playing gigs, simply. Yeah.
Mm. Is this like your, you played the festival before? Any festival?
With the trio, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like individually.
Or I guess the trio played the European Bauhaus Festival.
No. No.
First time abroad, playing abroad. From like Berlin, away from Berlin.
This trio is really quite a new thing. It's a
completely new thing. Created on the Incubator.
No, we played a few gigs before the Incubator. Only a few things.
We had two recording sessions.
We had two recording sessions and a few gigs, yeah. We played only within Germany.
Okay. And how did you come across Jazz Incubator?
I don't know. I think they wrote me on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. And then you sent your things over and they...
Yeah, I just wrote an application text, and it worked out.
That's sick. Yeah, Julia.
You found a chill spot.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you're doing it in 3D, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, on Jazz Techno, on the festival, you played the Jazz Incubator, which was like, the second iteration of it last year. I think it was Bob and Brass, and this year it's Gal Golok Trio. How was that experience?
I mean, it's a really nice chance that we were offered. I mean, to record a live album is a really nice thing. It's actually I think it's going to be my first very own album, which means a lot, you know. And to be able to any chance to be able to bring some friends of mine from Berlin to Slovenia is also, it's really nice. I just I'm happy to get to play with these guys, especially back home, kind of. And it was nice to get the chance to have a guest on the album. It's also great.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, how did you experience playing here compared to like Germany, Berlin?
I think it's, you can't compare it to anything. Like, I think recording live albums always a bit, not a bit, but a lot different than just playing a normal gig. So, and with that we also had like a, I think, how long did we stay here?
3 days, I guess.
3 days. So we had a lot of time to actually practice and chill and just enjoy concerts. But in the back of your head, you always had like, okay, yeah, we're not completely chilling right now. We still should get it done on a certain day.
So, like a residence vibe, maybe.
Yeah. So I think like before we played, or I felt like it before we played, I was pretty, maybe like 10 minutes before we started playing, I was like, oh shit, okay, now really is the time, I really should. It was a bit tough to get into the mood, into the zone, because we had like this long anticipation.
Was it like a vibe, like an on-demand approach, like now you have to, or what?
Not really, it was super slow, because we had all that time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would have been, of course, it would have been easier to just do it right on the spot, but I don't know if it would have been as nice, and I don't know if the outcome would have been as great as it was. It's just, I think it's just a good vibe. Hanging around together and then playing a nice concert and
it's always it is stressful to record a live album because it's this combination of if you're playing a concert it's I wouldn't say it's very stressful at this point, it's just you know you're in the moment and you're creating whatever happens is just part of it, but then when you're, for instance, just recording an album, not a concert situation, it's like you're striving for a certain sort of perfection. But at least what you have is multiple takes, which, you know, already normal recordings are kind of stressful because you're going for this perfection, but you can always go, ah, fuck it, we'll do it next. Sorry, can I? I like what you mean.
How did that feel like? How did that feel like? No second take, just, you know, one time.
I don't know, I've always been interested in live albums because I feel like there's some more magic happens kind of when you're just performing and you're performing for people and you're not you know, in concert situations you're not really striving for perfection, you're just striving for feeling and for making it work out and just letting it flow as naturally as possible. So I tend to really like live albums listening wise, but of course now that I played it's also stressful.
When the tables turn.
It's you know it's a lot of expectations kind of.
I see,
that I put for myself.
But I also think like that most of the times maybe if the big names or big productions, it's also a very different thing too. Maybe they have like a huge tour and they record every single concert each night and then
they cherry pick it
or they just pick the one that felt the best. Maybe that's just also a thing to be like, okay, we're gonna play this concert in 5 days, it's gotta be the one to it's the one that's gonna be an album.
How did the crowd feel? How was like that element? How did that?
It's always nicer to play for a crowd for sure.
Yeah
I would say so.
Okay. Compared to Berlin, what was it like? How many people? How many people do you think? Less people, more people? For a gig like that, or what was the energy like?
It's hard to say. It just depends where you're playing, because there are. You know, I couldn't generalize it of saying like, yeah, there's a lot of people coming to concerts in Berlin. I couldn't say that. There, you know, sometimes you have concerts depending on the place, depending on the time, and you know, there are full concerts, and there are also some that are just full on empty, so it always depends.
Yeah, absolutely. The songs you recorded, so the first three, you mentioned on the concert itself, had like Slavic elements.
Yeah, I was just reading this. This was a while ago, but I was reading this one book. I think it's Medveshchuk. Skrita stranina ba, I think it's called, and it just describes some Slavic or specifically Slovenian pagan rituals, and I found it interesting. I play a lot of folk music, and I kind of connected it to some of the stuff that was written in the book, and I wanted to write slightly folkloric kind of compositions also for the trio. And it was just a nice, you know, inspiration to do that.
So you wrote all the songs?
Yes.
Nice. How much freedom did you guys have? How much of it was composed?
Stevie was basically trapped to play 4/4 groove all the time. Yeah,
of course. No, I mean I think the compositions don't tend to be very complicated because I wanted to leave space for all our stuff, especially with a trio group. I think the best part is just the fact that you have a lot of space for communication and experimentation within the pieces. So I wanted the pieces to give that space.
Yeah, to come together.
Yeah.
Exactly. Then two songs also had a guest pianist.
Yes.
How did that happen? Where did he come into the picture?
I had written this one composition that I felt like could use some piano. Just very simply. I love Marco Cernci's playing and his music and his albums. I think he's just really great. It means a lot to have him on the album also. It's great. He's easy to work with. Easy. As soon as we started playing, it also made sense.
There was like a lot of... I felt like there was a lot of like virtuosity like in his playing.
Yeah.
I think it was sure. Like very, like contrast pretty well with how... It was given like a lot of space. How did you make these decisions when like composing songs? Do you like give him some space, then we all settle back, then give him some space, then we all settle back, or is it more like a cohesive rolling unity togetherness? Do you see, or do you like when you were composing, did you actively like, okay, now he's gonna have lots of freedom and then we're gonna go back, and or you know what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, it depends on the composition. There were some compositions that were kind of also you know, clear, like in traditional jazz, of like, this is now he takes a solo and now he takes a solo, and then there are other segments of compositions that are that give space to everyone that's playing. It just both of those options I think you can use.
Did you listen to any of the concerts going on?
Sure, yeah, we went yesterday to the first two, the third one we were really tired.
Yeah, understandable, yeah. And how did you feel?
Oh, especially, we especially like Jones. They were just really connected, and you could see they've been doing it for a while, and yeah, we were really impressed.
Yeah.
And we were excited also for some other gigs. I mean, I'm looking forward to Schlechtetsruck.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sophia Janberg, she was pretty great, and Darius Jones would be great for sure.
What I noticed on the first day of the festival, the difference between the two bands that had saxophones, is that what matters is intention, not necessarily experience or experience as well, but mostly intention, and what guides you through the playing. It could be honest, explorative force that drives you, or it could be something that is rather not true in its core, and trying to pretend. I'm trying to explore for myself the difference between being true to myself, between being honest and having good intention, also combining it with the technical skills and But in this case, in the case of this trio, I try to play less and try to... Although I play a lot, I just... it's a weird contrast, because I try to play less, but saxophone is present all the time. Mm. I just play less notes, because saxophone is pretty easy to play too many notes on. It's just the way it's built, and it's... phallic. The saxophone is an instrument of showing your balls, which I don't like the part of. But at this moment, I would say I'm trying to master certain patterns of thinking, patterns of playing and communicating. But I know at some point it's gonna evolve into something else, and it's gonna expand, and the boundaries are gonna be pushed. But you need solid foundation for that, and I always try to build these different blocks, so working on one block at a time and then moving to another one, and eventually you get to something. What helps me think about that is thinking that not material matters, but the emotion that you're carrying within yourself is, because you can practice everything and play perfectly well, but if you don't feel anything if you don't put any emotion into what you're playing, it's not gonna matter. And the point is that everything was played, but you can still be personal in your emotions, and we all feel the same emotions, same feelings, and people will recognize it no matter what material you put above it.
Well, you know, we're going back to Berlin on Sunday, just...
Back to school.
Back to school, kind of, yeah, it's... what can we say? I'm finishing my studies this semester. With the trio we're playing in July, we're playing with a great double bass player, Phil Duncan. We're excited for that.
I did feel like some of your music would maybe benefit greatly from like a fourth guy on the stage, you know? Some low-end frequencies completely taken care of, you know, like a double bass?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a double bassist and I specifically wanted to make a band where I don't play double bass, because I play gigs on cello, and sometimes they're not quite as... they don't use the cello in the way that I would like to, so that's the reason I wanted to form a trio where I play cello. And it's also the trio format, I feel like, also with the compositions being very open to anything, I always had in mind that we would have guests on many concerts, you know, just depends on the concert, the venue, sometimes in trio, sometimes maybe with a guest.
That's it. Yeah. What is the way that you don't, what is the, if we come back to cello,
mm-hmm.
what do you like, dislike about the standards of cello, and what do you want to challenge?
There's not much of a standard of cello, because it's not really used in jazz music often, but when it is, which is of course normal, it's used as a, you know, as a string section, or sometimes it's used as a frontman, meaning somewhat like mm-hmm. a saxophone.
Okay, like a solo.
What I'm interested in more is, I, as a bass player, I really like my position of you know, being the bass of the band, or supporting people and being part of the rhythm section, I think, is just a really wonderful thing. So I wanted to play the cello in a way where I could do that. And I feel like in this band, somehow the all members of the trio, even the saxophone, is part of the rhythm section, which I like. I think it's a nice thing to get to do.
You also use like a little bit of effects, which I think is... Yeah. Like, there's so much potential there, like, in jazz. I don't think you need to go completely, like, noise machines and turntables, like, mm-hmm. like some of the players out here are, like Otomar Shihide or Gabriele Mitelli right now with the Elephant, or before.
Mm-hmm.
Think, like, even just, like, some effects, you know, could drive, change the sonic. Escape so much, you know.
Pedals are great. I mean, I'm really into guitarists, Jakob Bro, for instance, I think is just a master at using some pedals to make a whole world from just one guitar, which is so it's also just it's fun to pretend to be a guitar player.
That's about all that I've prepared. So thanks Gagalop Trio, thanks for taking your time for doing this interview. And yeah, see you. Послушали ste interview z Gagalop Trio na Jazz Cirknu v sobici v Cirknem, in to je to. Poslušate Radio Študent, poslušajte že naprej, mi bomo pa zarolali en komad, ki smo ga posneli na koncertu. Se slišimo.
Poslušali smo intervju z Galom Golobom, Jefimom Brajlovskim in Stevenom Moserjem, ki kot Gal Golob trio ustvarjajo v Berlinu. Poslušali bomo še izsek z njihovega koncerta, ki je v petek 17. maja v okviru festivala Jazz Cirkno potekal v glasbeni šoli Cirkno. Intervju za sedbo Gal Golob trio je pripravil Jaša Potočnik.
Ereš intervju.